Okay, today's stuff we'll be learning is Daf Lamed Vav. And last year we were looking at the next of the cases of the Nishpin Notlim, and that's the Nigzal, if you remember. Now the Gemara asks, Ma'u mit'inine milin mefalgin. So the Gemara's question is, what if the person doesn't seem to be a person of means, but is claiming that the guy stole his $10,000 watch? It's something that was, and you see him walking around with, Chinese knockoff 10 shekel sort of watches. Do we buy it or not? So the Gemara says that actually this is seems to be different to what we said, by the way, in the Mishnah, according to Bartanura. And it says, Yeva kedama Rav Yochanan, Baranash atir goshuk mesaken go beta. You can have some people that walk around looking very looking like they're people of means, but are actually poor in their house. I mean, they have a front that they're wealthy, but they're actually not. Similarly, have the opposite as well. Atir go beta can people that are very wealthy at home. I mean, they're a person of means, but they don't flash it. They don't show it when they're outside the house. Mesaken goes goshuka, and they end up being, if you like, more modest, or even downplay what they have when they're in public, as it says in Mitasher ve'ein kol mitroshesh ve'hon rav. This is the pasuk from Mishlei. Basically, the same idea. So therefore, the fact that our assessment of someone to try and dismiss their claim is not a fair assessment, because how do you know what a person's real worth is? So that leads to the next story. By the way, we saw this Gemara once before in Baba Kama. So it says, Rav Ba Mishtaye Uvda, they had an incident. Hava Arisa de Barazize, the Arisa Barazize, the Ifgad, he entrusted a lot of large amount of money, of gold that is, Gabe Bar Nash, Litra Zahav, large volume of gold. The Aris, the worker, the share work, the work, which is a sharecropper normally, the worker of Barazize entrusted this gold with another third party. Met Barazize, the Aris and the Barziza. Both Barziza passed away and Aris passed away. Now, the person who's holding on to all this gold, he wants to know what to do with it. At Udva Kamir Rabbi Shmuel, the second Rabbi Yossi, Amar, Man Lei Malan de Kol Ma de Havi La Aris and the Barziza. Love the Barziza in him. He says, well, I think we can just simply assume that Aris doesn't have much money. Barziza were very wealthy. Let's just assume that, I think we can safely assume that this gold, the worker was going to hand over the money for Barziza. So it's Barziza's gold. Okay. So therefore, you should give it over to the children of Barzizai. Meaning, because the person who's holding on to this gold wants to know whose Yorshim do I give it to. So he says, well, Barzizai was a wealthy person, give it to Barzizai's children. After Benoit de Barzizai, the children of Barzizai, Amar Yisvun ben Rav Ravin Palga, Umin de Kikin Ravun Yisvun Palga. So the problem was you had adult children and young children. Meaning of the heirs. So he says the ones that are adults effectively, okay, they can take their share of it. And the ones that are young, we're gonna the nifka, the person's looking after it, keep holding on to it until they're old enough. Okay? That was the instruction. Then Damach Rabbi Shmuel, who gave the psaki, ended up passing away. Ata uvda kamei, and this incident came before Rabbi Chiya Ruba. Amar, ima hadalech shma minaklum. What do you mean? Just because that person's a sharecropper, who says he didn't have enough, he doesn't have a lot of money? As we just said, so there are people that don't want to flash around their wealth. They want to hold it. So how do you know? How can you make an assumption that the gold that the Aris gave over to this third party was not his own gold? That's not fair. So therefore, so give over the money to the children of this Aris, of this worker. So Amarle Mare de Pikdona. The person holding on to the picador says, well, we've got a bit of a problem because Kfar Yamin Palga, I've already given over half of it. So what do I do? So Amrei Mashna Tata, what you already did by giving over half, that was Api Deitlina Tata. So there's no rolling that back. That was Api Psa Beitin. But you're still retaining half. So therefore, Omasha at not 10, Api Beitin Tata. And now that what you're giving over, it's also Api Beitin. So he's not repealing the first thing. But now from this point onwards, you're still retaining the money. So I'm saying, okay, from here on, give over the rest of the. To the children of the Aris. So I got ahead of myself. Meaning, can the children of the Aris say to the children of Barziza, give us what you took? That's the question. So once again, they can also say no. Well, the money that we got, meaning that chelek of the gold that we got, was Alpi Beit Din, so we're going to retain it. Okay, so just as the Bala Pikadon, when he gave over his half, was up, he baked in. So therefore, the children of Barziza, they can say what we accepted was ours. Now the Gemara says, Umadium da kikila ravaravaya. So this is where the children of Barziza, the younger ones, the question is, can they say to the older ones, we want our chelek? We were meant to share the entire amount. It's just it was a bit delayed till we're old enough to get a chelek. You got a chelek, I'll be baked in. Can we get a chelek now? Is it time for you to share in that with us? So now Gemara says, Yachol meimar lon metzia matzanu. Now metzia matzanu means that it's like us finding a lost object in the ground. We found it's ours. Meaning it was it, like we profited from the fact that the original psak was that we get the gold, so we got it. You didn't get it. And the shilling you were meant to get, you didn't get because the psak changed. Or was a different psak regarding the remainder. So therefore it's ours. Meaning, Shemina Din, I'll read you the actually this is what we saw in the Mar Fulda. I'm reading the Mar Fulda here now. I've got in the Likutei Mefarshim down the bottom. It says Shemina Din ain lanu klum, really we were meant to get anything. Because the psak now is a thing, well, all it belongs to Taris. Ela sha'al pi beitin na'aseh liten lanu. But the first psak of Rabbi Shmuel, if you like, was that we get a habalei kamo metziah tzlenu. It's like really like we found some hefker object, a lost object on the ground. However, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, ein bein rav ravayla didikike ela kamish natan lohem matana. So there's two ways to understand this. The Pnei Moshe says this is really the same point that all the Yorshim of Barziza can say, what we got is a matana, it's ours. And bad luck to you. However, I'll read the Mara Fulda. The Mara Fulda says, "Ein bein dolin ktani, ein chiluk benehem." There's difference between ela ka adam shnoten le matan bichlal. There's no difference because the original thing was like a matana, but shrim lachalokim mahem, and therefore you have to divide it with the younger ones. Shrei hachi pasak lemishmal, because that was a psak Rabbi Shmal. V'amei tavon lebenui devar zizam, because his original psak through which the older children got that gold anyway was. On the basis, it will be go to the children of Barziza. V'kulam b'mashma, that's implying all of them. V'ilu ha'galui lo, if it was galui lo shelo yiten Rabbi Chiya klum, if Rabbi Shmuel knew that in the future Rabbi Chiya wouldn't let the ktanim get the remainder, v'vaday dato, it's clearly the dat of the original psak of Rabbi Shmuel was shared lo k'gdolim b'maktanim, that whatever is there, that will be shared by the older children, the younger children. Kach nireh hagon v'ya'ikar, that's exactly how the Rav Huldah thinks is their pshat. Now the Rebbitz are coming to be cholak. Okay? Zedder, I'll just do sorry.
Why is this called a matana? Why isn't it just called a Yerusha?
No. The reason why it's like a matana is because again, the way the I feel like the Mara Fulda explained it is that the this was a, as we say, it's a gift. A gift is something that we weren't meant to get. Okay, because according to Rabbi Chiya, they weren't to get it all. The whole sum of money was meant to go to the children of the Aris and not us. We just happened to profit from the fact that the original Pesach Rabbi Shmuel was that he gave it to us, and therefore that's why it's treated like it's a gift. You know, when you say this in the way we speak. Oh, it was a gift. Like, you know, the fact that we weren't meant to get it, and it was like a minashim, what it was a gift. Like, we weren't worthy to get it. We weren't legally meant to get it. Okay? It's like a gift. It's just that now, because of the psak, therefore we don't have to return it.
And the Beis Din can't take it back from them?
Well, it seems to be that he's not going to be repealing back the psak of Rabbi Shmuel. That's what says, Abbe Beit Din Natan. What you all did to this point is Abbe Beit Din. That was a psak of Beit Din. Rabbi Chiya Ruba is now coming to assess what with the remainder, meaning my interest is on the remainder. I can't go against a psak of Rabbi Shmuel's Beit Din. Rabbi Shmuel's Beit Din was the money that was already given out, but there's still money that's being retained, and therefore that's all I'm addressing. That's what it sounds like. Okay,
All
seder.
right.
Let's now halacha gimel. Hanechbal. This is says person who was injured. Ketzad. There's it was clear that the person went into a house and he was fully able, nothing wrong. And he came out injured. Amar lo said to him, Chavalti, you injured me. I didn't injure you at all. There's another situation where the injured party can make a shvur regarding the exact that he was actually injured and to collect the money. Okay? Again, we'll have to elaborate on this. I'll just show you the Pnei Moshe first before it gets to the Maris. This is specifically regarding a location where the person could have injured himself. That's when he would need a shvuah. If some sort of injury the person could not self-inflict it, there was teeth marks between his shoulders. Well, that's something you can't do to yourself. That's something clearly he was bitten by somebody and there's no one else there. Then Vain Shamacher, Shunuchal Hamor, Shema made with somebody else, only the only people in that room, Shasa Bachavala, then in that situation, we will tell it to he'd be able to collect payment without even a shvuah, because it's almost like 100%. Well, it's 100% certain that it was somebody else. Oh, sorry, it was that guy that he went into the went into the room with. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda once again says, Ad Shiyeh Sham Miktzat Oreah. Once again, he says, in order for these cases where someone can nishba v'notel, it has to at least model, if you like, the model of a miktzat situation. Ketzad, he says, Chaval to be shtayim, you give me two blows, and he says, Lo chavati al echad, only give you one blow. That's in the situation we make a shvuah and notel. Let's continue. Hanechta says as follows. Ketzad, Rabbi Huda haya kore chavti kol zman shem chochachim ze bazeh harezi nishba v'notel. There's different pshats exactly what this is. I didn't really understand that. Moshe, I'll show you the Ritbaz. He says, Perush, Tahani Mili Dishmav, when do we say the Kanishbav and Otel, the injured party, Dafka betrayed them Minse Bahadede? They were fighting with one another. So we saw them outside already fighting. V'nichnas echad mehem latoch yado shel chaverosh shalem, and they end up coming into, say, the house, whatever it was. One was Shalem, and he comes out after that Chavul injured. Since they're already fighting with one another, then it's quite clear, it's almost like we call it like a raglain ledavar. It's quite clear that it's, or I should say, it's highly likely that the injury came as a result of the fighting. Okay? That's when you can say, kata that's when we can say, okay, now the injured party can make he does make a shvuah, but he can make a shvuah to collect his payment. If I were, they were just talking to each other, quite friendly, and walking into a room and come out and says, "Oh, you injured me," then that wouldn't be the case. He couldn't make a shvuah notel. In other words, it had to be some sort of a regular, let's call it regular whatever. That's the first point. Next, as we explained again, because of Moshe, and if there was a bite, for example, between his shoulders, which he kind of flicked to himself, and again, it's barul, it's absolutely clear that it wasn't self-inflicted. There's no one else in the place. It was clearly inflicted by the other person. It wasn't there before he went in the room. He doesn't even make a shvuah. Now it says, "Lacharzman ama omer chavaltabi v'zeh omer lo chavalti harei ze kesher ta'anot." If after a, if the claim was made only much later, then it would be like shar ta'anot. Now shar ta'anot, I would think, would mean to mean ahmotzim chavalavareya, bring proof, like Menachem would say. However, the Pnei Moshe says here, "V'nishpah hanitba," the person who's claimed against would simply make a shvuot hesed, v'iftor. He would make a shvuot hesed, meaning that meaning he would make a shvuot min rabbanan to exempt himself. So it must be going on the back of some sort of regulaim ledavar situation. Okay, let's continue. This halacha daled. V'shekenegdo chashur ala shvuah. Another situation where we move the shvuah, so where the person makes a shvuah to claim money, is that the person that's meant to exempt himself from the shvuah is chashur ala shvuah. And therefore, he, if you like, sorry, and therefore he can't make the shvuah, so we shift it to the other party to collect it. So exactly, the Mishnah says as follows: pikadon, whether or not the person who's a chashur al shvuah, meaning we know he lied regarding shvuah eidur or shvuah pikadon, where there's a monetary component, or even if he made a shvuah shav, where there's no monetary component, still it's considered chashur al shvuah, and would shift the shvuah to the other party to nishba v'notel. Again, it says, if one of them mesachek, he said, we said it's a tough form of gambling. We'll discuss in the Gemara soon, Malva Rivet, he charged with interest. Mafrichionim. Mafrichionim, again, we discussed many perishim of that, but we'll see in the Gemara. Sochar shvi'it, he traded in Shemitiyash. That's shekenegdo, and that's another, all these cases as well. We would shift the shvuah from these individuals, if they were meant to make a shvuah, and push to the party, and nishba notel. Okay, these are psula'idot, these individuals. So also that we see the puzzle from Shua, if you like, and that's why we'd have to shift it across. What happens with Shneim Chashudim? What happens if they are both Chashudim? Chazar Shua and Komar, the Shua goes back to its place. We have to understand what that means. That's been in Reb Yossi, and Reb Meir says Yachaloku. So when we get to the Gemara, we'll try and understand all these opinions. So let's learn the Gemara now. V'sheganedu Chashur al Shua. Elu and Apsulim. Now this piece we saw both in Rosh Hashanah and in Sanhedrin. So let's have a look. It says, well, these are people that pasul la'idud. So again, we're talking about shvuah here, but we are trying, because we've discussed what is considered, all these individuals are pasul for making shvuah, and there's a parallel sugya for shvuah la'idud, that's why I bring it here. So have a look. What's a masecha bakubya? And it says, "Vezil mesachek b'pispasim." Oh, fesifasim. Sorry, I made the mistake last time as well. I think fesifasim, it seems to be, is like some sort of gambling where you use shibrei, it's pieces of wood, shesochakim bahen, they're aluchot metzurim, some sort of colored boards. Like people use talk about like dice gambling, but it seems to be some sort of it's a gambling, but got to with these wood chips and boards of sort. Says it doesn't matter if they're little blocks or other type of. You see kids now playing with like what are called nectarine pips, right, and things like that. So if they play with those type of things, also puzzle. They're not kasher the edut gumara. In other words, it's not enough to just say, yeah, we're not going to do it anymore to make them kasher the edut. You have to break those tools that they use in order to engage in it. Okay. And we've got that it says, v'chazar gumar dafilu b'chinam lo avde, meaning they won't play these games even for not real money. So they're not playing poker anymore, but that meaning in the casino, but they won't even play online for fake money, right? They won't even, that's finished. Hamavu b'ribit is someone who lends with interest. Em mekablin you have to tear up the shtarot, v'ivdok v'yichsor bahem chazar gumara. Again, he has to do a full tshuva, so doesn't even lend out even beribit to non-Jews who is allowed to. I mean, he has to mamash go away from this whole derech. Let's continue. What's the next case? Yonim. Now, we explained last time. Memare yonim is it's almost like chicken fights. They incite the animals to fight with each other and they gamble on that way. These yonim, these doves. That's Merba Yonim. Doesn't have to be birds, it could be any other Behemachai Be'of. We're talking about that sort of gambling-like inciting animals to fight one another. So in Makablimot, it says, now that's one, by the way, that's one Pshat, Memara Yonim. I think we saw other Pshatim before. For example, the Bnei Moshe's of the Mishnah, that it says, it's the Bnei Moshe brings a Perushim from the Bavli. Which isn't this. The Bavli's Pshat, if you remember, is either Mafrachionim is simply like bird races, or they would train birds to try and go to other people's areas to like herd other birds towards their property, if you like. So that's sort of a deceitful and dodgy sort of practices. But here, quite clearly, he's talking about some sort of fighting, according to Yerushalmi. The Pigimav are the boards they used to use to incite the birds. We're sure that he did a complete chazarag mura. Okay, let's continue. What's sochrei shvi'it? There's tagar shvi'it, someone who sells fruit and produce in the shmita year. Ezu tagar shvi'it. What's a tagar? Yashav lo kol shnei shavua. This is someone who doesn't work the whole 6 years, and he thinks in the seventh year, no one's going to work. This is my time to make my fortune. Or b'shvi'it hitchil no 7 or 10 b'perot shvi'it. That's someone who's considered sochrei shvi'it. Okay, that was a specific case, and we saw that in much more detail when we saw these figures before. Let's continue. We have to make sure that we see another Shmita. In other words, when is he now kasher la'edus? If he goes through another Shmita year, and we see that he's not doing it, he does, if you like, this full tshuva, as we said. And the Gemara says, "In mekablin it's a Rabbi Yossi. Tan Rabbi Yossi, it has to be two shviyot." Actually, two Shmita years. So it's going to take a long time. Could be 10 to be 7, 14 years before you can get into being aided at a wedding or anything. Let's continue. Rechemit says, Chazarta Mamon, Chazarat Mamon, sorry, Velo Chazarat Dvarim. It's not enough for him to say, I'm not going to do it again. The profits he made from the Shmita produce and all that, he also has to give away. And he has to give it to Aniyim and the like in order to be the proper Tshuva. Let's continue. Shamar Lahem, in other words, Chazrat Mammon, lo Chazrat Ramim, she'amar lehem ha'lachem 200 zuz v'chalkum la'anim, kipteno, kanasti b'peirot aveira. In other words, he goes to Anim and says, this is all money for you guys that I collected in a forbidden way. Let's continue. Hosifu aleihem, they added haro'in are shepherds, ha'chamasin, chamsanim are people that are, they will pay for the product they're buying, but the person didn't want to sell it, so they force them to really sell. The next one is Gazlanim. Gazlanim, here it's interesting. Here the Korban Eidah says, "Afilu hagozel katan." Even though technically it's not really considered stealing, if a katan finds something on the street, we say midak Hashem allowed to do it. Such an individual, they also says that's impossible Eidah. It's not the right practice. It's again, it's showing this desire for money to the extent that corrupts. Okay, that's a clear that after the pasuk. Let's continue. So Amar Rabbi Bahu, what type of ro'im are we talking about when it says haro'im? They're talking about shepherds of like light cattle, because again, they were ro'eh that would go and other and take their sh their not cattle, their flock, sorry, in other people's field to graze. Okay, let's continue. So Rav Huna Amar, Mantanita Mefrachionim, who's the sheep that says Mefrachionim apostle? That's Reb Eliezer. Why? Now, this is a Mishnah Ediot. If you remember, Ediot are the special Edut that were given at the time when the change of Batin Dinin changed, right? Meaning, it was, if you remember, it was, there was a very, Rav Gamliel had a very strict standard of who come to the Beis Midrash. When Beshua took over, he opened the doors and he had the influx of everybody. Everyone bought this Ediot. So Reb Eliezer come and was, sorry, there was an Edut that says as follows. It says, Mafrichionim. Now the assumption is if that's an Eidut, the Mafreyonim, a Pasul Eidut, that means the Mishnah that up above that talked about the Pasul Eidut within Mamonot is only Reb Eliezer. Because what else is the Eidut? The Eidut is Reb Eliezer's coming to say that Mafreyonim Pasul Eidut. So Amar Amana Kamer Rav Yossi, no, V'od Mahada. So does that also mean V'od Mahada the Sanhedrin Kareb Eliezer? Does that mean that, in other words, Mantanita Mafreyonim, just to be careful, I want to refine this. Mantanita is referring to in Rosh Hashanah. Okay, who's the shita that says, like, if you like, that it's pasul eidot? So then I ask, what about in Sanhedrin? Is that also when it's pasul mammon in general? So just to correct that point, is that also Reb Eliezer? So Amar lo no divrei hakol. So in other words, so it says mau divrei hakol. What then is divrei hakol? It says hacha Amar Rabbi Yossi yodin hayu shahaya pasul eidot mammon uma ba la'id. So he asks, I don't understand. If Lekule Alma, someone's chashad ala mammon is pasul mammon, meaning according to Chachamim as well. So the Gemara, the Mishnah and Sanhedrin that we were just referring to, some of these pasul eidot refers to mafrichionim. Everyone agrees. Then what then is Reb Eliezer coming to add? That's the kasha. When he's coming to me'ed and mesechta eidot, what was it eidot? What was he coming to add that is pasul for? If Chachamim effectively agree, so ele kashem she pasul eidot mama kasul kach sorry kach pasul eidot nafashot. The answer is. He says he was extending it. The Chachamim say that if someone's chashud l'mammon is pasul l'eidut mammon, the seder. But nefashot, that's a whole different capital cases. It's a whole different body, again, a kettle of fish. That's much more serious. Reb Eliezer, when he came mesech the eidut, says that mafrichayonim is pasul l'eidut. It means l'eidut nefashot. Sounds like all eidut. So it says ve'edut chachodesh ke'edut nefashot. So I'll continue here, explain like Reb Chaim, like we learned it in Rosh Hashanah, meaning that when it comes to edut chachodesh, since there's no monetary component to that as well, therefore it is like edut nefashot as well. So meaning it'd be a machloket. Chachamim would say is kasher, and whereas Reb Eliezer say is pasul. So now we run into a problem. The Din HaTaman, this now takes us to Rosh Hashanah. Kol edut she'ena isha ksheirela. Meaning, which in any eidot that a woman's not kasher for, which is pretty much nearly everything except for a couple, which is eidot regarding a sota, eidot regarding someone's husband, like a woman's husband's passed away, and then through that eidot should be able to come and, if you like, remarry. So it says, af hen einam ksheirim la. So all these psula eidot, meaning that we discuss, the mafrechioni, mesachach, are not kasher for the things a woman's not kasher for. Okay, so if that's the case, this seems to be like, well, according to Reb Eliezer, this doesn't seem to be like Reb Eliezer, because Reb Eliezer, he says we expanded this, someone who is pasul la'edot, I mean, or this mafruchayonim is pasul all the edot. Okay, so the Gemara then asks, Man Tanita, you want to say it's like Rabbanan? But one second, the Sefer seems to suggest that just as a woman's not kasher for edot nefashot, so too, this mafrichioni, for example, is not a kasha that in the pasha. So we're at a loss to say who is this klal like the kol edut she'ena isha kshera af henin ksherin la. What are we talking about? The Gemara now says actually Rabbanan k'Reb Eliezer morin lei o paligale. So what's a pshat? Is Rabbanan agreeing with Reb Eliezer or cholik on them? What's the din? So the Gemara says Rav Huna b'shem Rav Yona kulam k'Reb Eliezer. No, Chachamim say. If he's kashu lamamon, only pasul lamamon. That's it. That mission in Rosh Hashanah is like Shita Rebbe Eliezer. That's why not only is Chashan L'mama, it's Chashan L'mfashon. Why then is if it's if Ishak Sherala, he's also this Mafrachionim is also Kasherla? Meaning the case of a sota to save a woman from being from like in the case of a sota, to be clear, is she's accused of being a sota, witness of sin and conclusion. But someone comes along, even an Isha comes along and says, I saw that actually the crime was committed, that would save her from drinking me sota. Or the other case where a woman comes from overseas and said that I know that so-and-so's husband passed away, that would also allow her to get married. Why are those cases different? The reason is because those situations we're makil to allow an Eid Echad. And because we're makil to allow Eid Echad, even Rebbe Eliezer would agree that a mafricha yoni mesachek is kasher in those situations. Okay, that's how I explain the whole piece. I say at in plugta, that we see that this machloka we see in terms of if you're a pasul, if you're a chashud on mammon, are you chashud al dvarim acherim? There's actually another machloka, the Tani. Ed zomim pasul mikol erot shabatora, a false witness pasul from all erot in the Torah. That's Yiv Rebbe Meir. Amri was say ematam is mentioned ed zomim be'edut nefashot. That's only if he's considered a false witness regarding a capital case. But if it's only ed zomim for edut mammon, ain't a pasul elalot to edut bulvad. Then it's only possible that only for Mammon itself and not Nefashot. So you see quite beautifully that after Rabbi Yossi lines with Rabbi Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir, who holds it possible to everything, he's like Rabbi Eliezer. Yeah, fair. Let's continue. A chashud b'shvua, if someone is suspected of making false shvuas, as we've seen, Eimatan, when does he do tshuva? So till now, that ends our copy-paste, if you like, from Rosh Hashanah and from Baba Kama. And in those situations, what we're all discussing is how does someone who is suspected of lying regarding Mammon, Masach Kukubia, and things like that, when is he can do tshuva? But for our Masechta, we're interested in someone who's chashod al shvua. When is it considered he does tshuva? So Gemara says, "Etzah chashud b'shvua miata meklinoto mishavo bebeitin." When he comes to beitin, you're my chashud, I mean that I'm chashud. So the Gemara says, "Manan kaimim im bahuda kaim chayev lechare shvua or beitin misrum shvua lechashud." How what do you mean? He comes to the beitin and says, "I'm chashud al shvua." If we're talking about a situation where we know he's chashud al shvua, and he comes up and says, "By the way, I'm chashud al shvua," do we then hand it over to him? It's ridiculous. What are we talking about? Elakin anan kaimi must be bahuda azal made him a beitin. Goes to another beitin, lochakim, they don't know anything about him. V'yemul lahu, and he said to them, "Hau gavra chashud." He says, "Hau gavra," meaning me, I'm chashud al shvua. So he provides information that I'm a chashud al shvua and I want a tshuva. That's a situation where we didn't know it was chashud. That's, if you like, his turnaround. However, Amara says, no, even in a place where we know he's chashud al shvua, how can he do tshuva? Avu de kain v'chayv le shvua. We're talking about a situation where he was an individual chashud al shvua. What happened in that situation? We shift the shvua to the other party. What's the point of tshuva the person does that turns it around? If he says, okay, I understand that we're shifting the shvua to this other individual because I'm a chashud, but I don't want him to make a shvua, I'm willing to pay without a shvua. Ah, that's showing that he's now concerned with the severity of what a shvua is. Okay, now you're considered done tshuva. Okay, let's continue. Rav Hoshaya Amar Kemei Rav Imi. B'shem Rav Rabbanan Taman. Chazrash. Now the question is, if you remember, what happens if they're both chashur al shvua? The first opinion is chashur kuma, goes back to the original place. That's Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Meir says it's the achalokul, they would divide. Meaning the divide the contested funds. What does that mean? So Rabbi Shai Kameh, Rabbanan says chazrash Sinai, and Rabbi Yochanan says b'shem Rabbi Yonai chazra shvua. So what does chazrashua lasin? What does it mean? Chazrashua limkoma. Just get the last one. Yes, limkoma. There's the debate. One is it goes back to Sinai, and the other one says it goes back to the Baalim. What does that mean? Manam chazrashua lasinai. The shit that goes back to Sinai, meaning we if you like, leave it in the hands of Hashem, meaning it goes back. Kamisha ain't kan edut. We treat as if now there's no edut at all, and therefore we. If you like, disregard, we dispose of Shvua having any legal part in this, such that now we go back, we have to lean on some other legal way of extracting the funds, and we say, okay, the burden of proof is now on you. However, it goes back to the Baalim. Mimadu gavra chashud v'lo yachol mishtabele. Then we say, kum shalim li. So in other words, what it means is someone's motive b'mitzah, you're chashuv. So modern mitzvah means if you want to be pator, you have to make a shvuah. His chashid would shift the shvuah to the other guy, meaning, okay, now you can make a shvuah to collect it. That other version is also chashid. So go back to the original person. So the original person would have to make a now shvuah in order to exempt him from payment. But because he is chashid and he can't make a shvuah, we say, okay, well, you can't exempt yourself from payment with a shvuah. Pay up. That's what we'd say. Okay, let's continue. Next Mishnah. A shopkeeper on Pinkas. What is this case of Chayim Pinkasos? We're not talking a case where the shopkeeper who takes has a line of credit says, "Oh, you owe money because it says so in my ledger." That's not what we're talking about. Ella Amar says, the Balabait says to the Chenvani, he says, "Give a certain amount of chitin to my son," or he says, "Lo paolim selabamot." In other words, he gives the shopkeeper, here's a large coins. I want you effectively to give my workers smaller denominations of coins in the form of their payment. That's one way of explaining this. Huamer, he says, Natati. The shopkeeper says, I gave it. And the workers say, Lo natanlo, he didn't give us anything. Hunishbavanotel, the shopkeeper wants his seller, so he can make a shvuah and collect it. Then Nishbavanotlim. And the workers also want to get paid so they can make a shvuah and collect it. Meaning they can both can say that, in other words, it's a raglaim the davar here, you're masking that you committed to give me the money. So the shopkeeper says, make shvuah, collect his. The worker says, we have no shaychus to this shopkeeper, we'll make a shvuah to you, we'll make a shvuah to you when we collect our money. However, Amar ben Nanas, Ketzar elu ve'elu ban lidei shvuah chav. Clearly someone's lying here. So how can you set up a situation where you're forcing a position where someone's because someone is lying and someone's going to be lying, you're going to create a shvuah chav. In that situation, it's better they both take without making a shvuah. That's the Mishnah. Let's just start the Gemara a drop and we'll continue next year. Gemara now says, so this is what I want to say in the Mishnah, which is if we're not talking about a situation where it's a line of credit. Now here the Panei Moshe says, Chilav. We're not talking about a situation where he's got a line of credit and he's looking at his ledger to see who owes him. The ain raglain le davar. That's not enough of a raglain le davar that he can take. As we said, there's not enough of a circumstantial force around it to warrant the yeshua. Why? The fact that it's written in your book, maybe you paid and you forgot to mark it off. You're a busy man. Because you could write with this hand, writes it, this hand wipes it out. I may have already paid you. So that's why we can't be talking about solidity. It has to be, as we said, it has to create some sort of reglaim ledavar, which is where the balabait agrees that he gave him the money to say, I want you to give out the coins. Okay? No, so I'm going to give you the money. Sorry. He didn't give him the money. I'm going to give you the money. That's why the chenvani says, okay, give me the money. Okay, let's continue. So let's continue. Rebbe Omer, Omer ani shiyu elu nishpein bifnei elu bimnei abusha. Now, according to the first opinion in the Mishnah, we said that both the chenvani can make a shvuah to get his seller that was owed to him, and the workers can also get their money and make a shvuah. However, he said they must do the shvuah both in front of one another. Because it's much easier to lie when you're not facing the person who knows you're lying. So we try and at least engineer the situation to, like, as some sort of deterrent, at least to an extent that hopefully one of them will admit the truth. So therefore we say, okay, the shvuahs have to be done in front of another. Okay, and that's it. All right, Beseder, we'll continue for the next year. Have a good day.